Well, good morning. It is good to be back with you this morning. We are had some sickness running through our household last week, so it is good to be back with you, good to be feeling better. I am thankful that Rod was able to fill in to remind us just how big that our God is and how much that He loves us. We're going to be diving back into the book of Acts this week. We'll be in chapter 6. And today I'm going to be reading verses 8 through 15. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and those from Sicilia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we dive into your word this morning, we pray that you would help us to remember that it is your word, your truth. We pray that you would help us to allow it to take up residence in our hearts, that we would learn all that you need or all that you're wanting to teach us this morning. We pray that we would apply it to our lives, that wouldn't just be words that we hear, but it would be motivation to action. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. So this passage about Stephen is immediately preceded by the story that we covered several weeks ago, where the people were complaining because there was Hellenistic widows or Jewish women who were Greek-speaking who were missing out in the daily distribution of food and goods. And so the apostles appointed 7 deacons to meet the needs of these people to ensure that the apostles were able to continue to preach and teach. And of those 7 deacons, one of those was Stephen, who we are talking about today. Stephen was one of the 7. Really, Acts 6:8 all the way through 7:60 shows us the final day of Stephen. Shows how he lived, what he said, and then ultimately we'll learn about how he died. Stephen's death revealed him to be a man whose heart beat with Christ's to the very last. So most of us, I think, go through our lives hoping that other people aren't talking very much about us, and that if they're talking about us, at least maybe they're saying good things. But really, I think a lot of us would prefer to stay out of other people's conversations. We don't like thinking that other people might be talking about us behind our backs. But if they are, we're hoping they're at least saying good things. I remember there has been many times in my life where I've heard rumors about things that have been said about me. When we moved to Clay Center, I began substituting in the school, and I did a couple of clubs and things like that. And pretty soon there was this rumor going around that the school district was allowing a homeless man to volunteer at the school, and that homeless man was me, and it was this wake-up call that you know, I never once thought about shaving, but maybe I should wear some nicer clothes when I went to. But people talk about us, it seems like, whether we want them to or not, and in the case of Stephen, it says that he was a man whose heart beat with Christ's to the very last. Can you imagine being described like that? being described as somebody whose whole life was dedicated to the service of Christ. Isn't that our goal as Christians, to be identified with Christ and our service to Him? Luke gives a large amount of space here in the book of Acts to Stephen, in a large part because Stephen served as the catalyst for the spread of the gospel to non-Jewish Gentile territory. His life and the example that he set is an incredible one. He was, like the women being left out, he was a Hellenistic Jew, or he was a Greek-speaking Jew. And it says in verse 8 that he was full of grace and power, and he was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Another way of saying this is that Stephen was a lot like Jesus, or he looked a lot like Jesus, or he acted just like the person that he was following. Full of grace. In the New Testament, grace refers to the unmerited, unlimited riches of God that God pours out on us through Christ. God's riches flowed through Stephen in such a way that they spilled out onto others around him. Grace also has a background that suggests beauty, symmetry, rhythm, elegance, loveliness. And all of this is also seen in Stephen. So he had this character of charm about him, where people were naturally drawn to him, but then how also God's grace, goodness, just poured out through him. So even in this, we see how Stephen reflects Christ. Jesus is described as being a person who people were just naturally drawn to, as being a person full of grace. And so as people saw Stephen, they saw Jesus. It's this reminder that grace is not only something that pays for our sins, but it's designed to change us. That when we experience God's grace, that our lives should experience change. That we now appreciate life so much that we're motivated to live differently, to live like Christ. Stephen was also a man who shared Christ's powers. Christ's power. Jesus, his ministry is defined oftentimes by his teaching and the signs and the wonders that he performed. That he demonstrated time and time again that he was the Messiah by doing incredible signs and wonders. And Jesus said that his followers would be able to do them as well. And here we see Stephen demonstrating signs and wonders, drawing people and attracting them to him, that he was able to speak to them because of what they were witnessing him doing. Stephen, shortly after these verses, is going to deliver a great sermon. A great sermon to the Sanhedrin, or the religious political leadership group of the day. And he is going to whip into them like you won't believe. But his great preaching comes through Christ's power, not his own. Through Christ's power, not his own. Stephen also knew the power of perseverance. We know that in this story that Stephen is eventually killed in really a very brutal way. And again, it points us to Christ. That Christ died really in a very brutal way. But in the midst of this, Stephen again acts like Christ. There's no reviling, there's no recrimination, there's no self-defense. Stephen is willing really to act out what he's preaching. Christ's power enables us to do what we ought and to be what we ought. That through the power of the Christ and the Holy Spirit moving and working in our lives, it's no longer just belief, but it's action. That we're able to act and do what we say that we believe. Stephen was also a man who shared Christ's wisdom. It says that the people, they didn't like what Stephen was saying. They wanted to disagree with him. They wanted to find some fault in what he was saying. Verse 10 says, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. God had given Stephen a discerning mind and spiritual insight. See, we are fallible creatures. I am wrong more often than I am right. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you. But really, we are people who don't always know everything. There's questions that we can't answer. There's things that we oftentimes can't remember, things that we can't do, skills that we don't know, classes that we haven't taken. But there are certain things that we can be assured are true when we say them, and that is the words that are found in Scripture. Because we know that it is God's truth, that it is God's wisdom. And so as we share God's truth, God's word, the Holy Scriptures with people, we can share it with the confidence of knowing that it's true, that it's not our wisdom, it's not our knowledge, it's God's. God had given Stephen a discerning mind and the wisdom of his word. Stephen was also a man who shared in Christ's rejection. Stephen was one of the Hellenistic or Greek-speaking Jews. We've said that. But what's important to remember is that the very people who are accusing him, who are attacking him, are also Hellenistic Jews. They're his own people. His very own people are attacking him. They're lying about him. They're bringing forth false witnesses to bear false testimony against him. Who does that sound like? Jesus was brought before the very same Sanhedrin with the very same high priest, and people who were his own people told lies about him in order that it might bring about his destruction. And so Stephen is experiencing the same type of rejection that Christ would have experienced. Trumped up charges, charges of blasphemy. And this court, this Sanhedrin, that is the very same people who convicted Christ, is an interesting group. It's made up of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Sadducees are an interesting group because, the Pharisees were a group of people who added to the Scripture. They added new rules and new laws in order to obey the ones that they knew were true. The Sadducees were a group of people who subtracted from Scripture so that they could focus in on specific aspects. And so the Sadducees, who made up a large portion of this Sanhedrin, one of the things that they reduced from Scripture, took out of Scripture, was the existence of angels. The Sadducees didn't believe in angels, and yet here, Stephen is described as having the face of an angel. And it says, all that were there saw the face of an angel reflected in Stephen. Or in other words, they saw the face of God reflected in Stephen. They saw something that they didn't believe in. Here's a court that claims to believe in God and yet unjustly denies the word of God. In other words, they are hypocrites. And not a single word of the false witnesses, not a single word of it was true, other than that Jesus did indeed say that he was going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. He did say that. But these witnesses, these false witnesses, twist Jesus' words and they twist Stephen's words in this grand conspiracy against him in an effort to kill him. But as Stephen stands before the Sanhedrin, it says that his face was like the face of an angel. We see a similar story, a similar account of this when Moses asks to see God. Moses asks to see God, and God says, "No one can see me and live, but this is what I'll do, is that you go stand in this cave, and I'll cover it, and then when I pass by you, you can look out and you can see my backside. You can see the backside of me, because no one can see the face of God and live." And so Moses is placed in the cleft in the rock, and he is covered up by the hand of God, and God passes, and Moses looks out, and he sees his backside, and Moses comes down from the mountain, and his face is glowing. And his face is glowing because in it is reflected the glory that came from being in the presence of God. That being in the presence of God physically transformed Moses. And so as we see that Stephen, that he has the face of an angel, what it is very literally saying is that God is being reflected in him because he has been in the presence of God. That he lived his life in such a way, his relationship with God was so deeply connected, that even in these final moments of his life, as he is being lied against and falsely accused, Christ is being reflected in him because that's what Stephen's life was about. It was about living for Christ. In that moment, it would have been easy for Stephen to reflect the ugliness and the horror that surrounded him, the lies that were being cast against him. It would have been easy for him to reflect his accusers or those he was surrounded by. Really, it's really easy for us to reflect the world around us. It's really easy for someone's bad mood to rub off on us, or for somebody's bad actions to rub off on us. A really good example of this, at least in my life, is that I can be having an awesome day until that one driver. And they cut me off, or they don't go past the stoplight fast enough, or whatever it might be. And oftentimes, I'm probably that driver because I spend a lot of my day spaced out. But it's just incredible how so often so small and simple actions and attitudes of other people influence us. But here, Stephen has every reason to be angry, to reflect the same animosity that his accusers are showing. But instead, he reflects Christ. Imagine what our lives would be like, as if even in the midst of times of adversity or personal attacks, or even sometimes very innocent things that happen against us, if our reflection was that of Christ instead of the world around us. Stephen, there wasn't really anything special about him. He was just a guy. Just a normal, ordinary, God-fearing, obedient Christian. But he didn't have any superpowers or special abilities. No, everything that we see that is remarkable about Stephen is remarkable because of Jesus moving and working in Stephen's life. And it's this reminder for us that we are very ordinary and oftentimes unremarkable people. As much as we would like to think that we are special, we are only special because of what God has done for us. that God moves and works in miraculous ways in our lives in order that His glory might be demonstrated through our lives. But it's also this reminder that we don't have to be special to do things that are special. Because it's not our power, it's not our ability, it's not our eloquence of words, but it is Christ being reflected in us. That it is Christ's ability, not ours. That Christ gave Stephen the ability to preach an amazing sermon. That it was the Holy Spirit moving and working. The very presence of Jesus' existence in Stephen's life that allowed his face to be the reflection of an angel. And so it should give us hope that as we encourage the world around us, that as we engage with Jesus more, that our lives should look more like Him. And that our imperfections begin to fade away because His majesty and magnificence are amplified and glorified. You know, oftentimes in moments like this where I'm having an argument with someone and I know that I am right, I don't always reflect the face of an angel. Ask my wife. And I think part of it is that I don't like to admit when I am wrong. I really don't like to admit when I'm wrong. Because admitting that we're wrong reveals some weakness within us. And the times where Celise and I have been fighting and I have realized that I am wrong are probably the times where I have said the least intelligent things. Or maybe the things that are the least true. And the same is true with Stephen's accusers, is that they keep on attacking him, and they realize that they just can't win. But what they fail to recognize is their wrongness. Instead, they're like, well, okay, so we can't win this way, so we're just going to fight dirty. We're going to get people to bring up trumped-up charges, to lie against Stephen, in order that we might win. And as Christians engage the world around us, I think we still experience this. That even though what we are saying is true, and oftentimes convincingly true, that the things that we say about Scripture are often, people can't really argue against what we're saying. And so they start to fight dirty. And oftentimes we as Christians give them plenty of ammunition because we forget that who we're supposed to look like and we act like somebody other than Jesus. And the trick is this. Is to remember to continue to act like Stephen or act like Christ and not act like the world. And so as the world is attacking us, maybe bearing false witness against us or poking at us, is to remember how Stephen acted. He didn't fight back. He didn't accuse them. He didn't reflect what they were reflecting. Is that Stephen reflected Christ. Because he wasn't concerned with winning. He wasn't concerned with proving them wrong. He was concerned with demonstrating the love of Christ. You know, we are called to defend our faith. But defending the faith never means that we have to attack. It simply means that we need to bear evidence to the truth. And if the truth doesn't need help being the truth, it's just true. And we don't have to fight dirty in order to make the truth more true. It simply is. And the truth is backed up and defended by the author of truth, God. So as we engage with the world around us, we need to model our lives, as Stephen did, to be reflections of Christ. That we seek to reflect Christ to the world, and we remember who our enemies are. Our enemies are not the people that we come into contact with, but our enemy is really the devil. But we are not called to fight him. We're called to follow Jesus, who has already fought him and won. And as we draw closer to Jesus, we get to share in that victory. So live like Jesus, through his power, and live for Jesus, for his glory. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we don't have to do this alone, but your Spirit empowers us, that your Spirit gives us everything that we need to engage the world around us. And we pray that we would follow after Christians like Stephen, and ultimately that we would follow after Jesus, and that our lives would be a reflection of him, that when others see us, they would see Christ reflected in us. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen.